direction in which we were attempting to achieve much better transmission quality, and I'm not sure whether we've achieved that or not. Are we breaking up or are we... All right, we're still trying to gather information as much as we possibly can. I understand that buses carrying the Oakland A's family and relatives and friends were arriving in the parking lot just at the time that the earthquake hit here. Ray Fossey is monitoring TV, and we're trying to maintain any avenue of communication that we can. Once again, if you did not hear this or catch this earlier, here at Candlestick Park, we've been informed, at least as much as they know right now, there is no damage. That does not, however, include all of the electrical functions of the ballpark, and at this time, there is still, at this point, no electrical power.
Well, they're telling me that there is some damage to the upper structure, to the that cantilever section, I think. They think there's some cracks in that.
Oh, that little shield that runs above the upper deck.
They've asked people to move out of certain areas. Section 53, I think, was one of the places that they had talked about. There might be some damage up there, and they'd asked the people to
move out there. That's out beyond center field. Some of the A's players are beckoning up into the stands. I see Storm Davis as if to bring their families down, because I understand the A's family bus arrived in the parking lot just at the time of the earthquake, and now Tony La Russa and the other players are down here beckoning into the stands, trying to get all of their relatives and friends down on the field. And obviously, we're in a crisis situation as far as any continuation of World Series play and a Game 3 is concerned tonight. But most everybody here also, of course, is even more concerned about what the general area may have suffered.
Well, it's certainly from reports about the bridge and the freeways and such, all we can know is what we've heard in reports on television and radio from the people that are outside, but there has been some major damage, or at least damage enough to disrupt any flow of traffic between the East Bay and the West Bay.
We understand that the epicenter of the quake was south of San Jose. How far south, I can't tell you at this point.
I think somebody said about 20 miles from the epicenter was 20 miles or something from, somebody said 20 miles from here.
Well, Lon, you've been a lifelong Californian who grew up in Los Angeles, which, of course, has had experience over the years with quakes in addition to the Bay Area, and this was one that I think probably got your attention more than any you would remember.
Well, almost. The one that probably the biggest one was in 1933 when I lived in the Long Beach earthquake that really devastated that Southern California area all the way from Los Angeles down towards San Diego. There were buildings shaken down, buildings condemned. One of the pluses of that, as far as I was concerned at that time, not knowing the magnitude of the situation, I was happy because my school was condemned. It was a brick school, and it was greatly damaged, and it was condemned. But that quake was a major quake that shook a lot of buildings down, and then there were aftershocks for a couple of weeks that were very strong quakes that I remember lying in my bedroom in West Los Angeles and being in my bed and all of a sudden seeing plaster shake off the walls because it was hit that hard.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We are not at Candlestick Park more than once a year, maybe twice at most, in the Bay Bridge Series in the spring between these two ball clubs. And there was a moment when it started, perhaps 4 or 5 seconds, and I began to feel the motion, and my first thought was the fans are setting up some sort of stopping.
My first reaction was we're having an earthquake.
Well, and you said it. And when you said it, that was the first time that it even dawned on me, because I have been in stadiums where fans can set up sort of a harmonic just with their stomping and that sort of thing. And then, of course, everybody... The first reaction, I think, was one of amusement, and then the longer it went on, people began to get very serious, and I know people up here in the adjoining luxury suites began to really evacuate. Down on the field now, I see Terry Steinbach has found his wife, and she appears to be very distraught. Very distraught.
Well, it's interesting how various people react to to earthquakes, people who have been through hurricanes and tornadoes that carry as much damage with them.
There's another aftershock right now.
All these natural disasters that carry as much devastation with them. Just the recent hurricane on the East Coast certainly devastated more of an area than the earthquake did here today. But earthquakes, it just seem to people that haven't lived in California or haven't been around them that often, it really, if you'll pardon the expression, shakes them up. They seem to think that there's something. Maybe it was the Nelson Eddy Clark Gable movie or something that seeing a San Francisco earthquake that people are really get paranoid about earthquakes. And earthquakes are, you know, earthquakes certainly can create a lot of damage, but it.
Well, I think the thing about earthquakes, and far be it for me to philosophize about it, but if you think about it, all of the other phenomena. There is at least some warning. Not a lot for a tornado, but at least you get an idea that you're in tornado weather. An earthquake has no forewarning.
Yeah, well, people don't think. People seem to feel that with an earthquake, there's no place they can go to be safe.
That's
a hurricane,
right.
You can go to the basement, maybe. But with an earthquake, and this is now, I would say this is not an ideal place to be in an earthquake.
No.
Candlestick Park at its best is not an ideal place to be, and then you. But see what happens at Candlestick. You have all of a sudden gorgeous weather here.
That's right.
And beautiful weather, and maybe Candlestick just couldn't handle it.
I see Walter Haas Jr., the owner of the Athletics, and his wife Evie are conferring with Sandy Alderson down in front of the A's dugout. And obviously Commissioner Fay Vincent and the league presidents and others who are in a situation where decisions must be made. And I believe, isn't that over on the first base field box? I see Bill White, the American League president, there, and there's quite a gathering over there. So obviously it's
27 years ago, they had a World Series here.
27 years ago yesterday, Willie McCovey's
right.
line drive.
And in that series, the series was delayed for the first time in history by more than a day, I believe.
That's
it
right.
was delayed 3 days. Because of torrential rains. So they have a World Series here 27 years later, and what happens? An earthquake hits.
Well, it's incredible. How do you evaluate that as it relates to Proposition P?
Well, I think Proposition P was probably very much in evidence out here for a few of these people when that earthquake hit.
We have, of course, very little communication with any outside entities beyond our location.
There's another good shock right now.
Yeah, we keep feeling the aftershocks here.
I think they're going to have to tell the people to go home.
Well, I think obviously if they don't have any way to get the lights on to begin with, that would be the first consideration. Even if they were able to, I would imagine there's a strong concern right now that the facility needs to be inspected fully.
Right. I'm sure. And I don't think either one of these ball clubs is going to be able to play a ball game here.
I think all of the focus is gone.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way that you could send these ball clubs out here and have them play a baseball game and have them play a representative game. I think they have more on their minds than playing baseball. And it might be for a few days before
they
have it on their minds.
And, of course, the many things on their minds right now, the immediate concern is their family, which might be here. And, of course, above and beyond that, not knowing just where the earthquake effect was most felt, what the condition is at their homes and so on. And, obviously, communications lines, and I would imagine, I know you were trying to phone. Did you have difficulty phoning out?
No, I've got out. Bye.
Actually, gentlemen, you should tell people to stay off the phone unless it's an emergency.
People are asked to stay off the telephone unless it is an emergency because they're naturally the facilities that are trying to participate in the emergency work around here have to have those communications.
I see our signal is being interrupted sporadically by some sounds. I don't know what it is. Now, all of the A's, or not all, but a good number of them, are walking out across the diamond toward right field, where they will go toward the clubhouse. All of their families who are here are with them. And I don't know who is also on our broadcast facility right now. I would have to say the looks of it makes it very strong to tell you that we're not going to have a World Series game number three here tonight. From all logic, announcement. Apparently on some auxiliary sound system, it's barely audible. The game has been postponed. And the fans are asked to leave in an orderly manner. We will have no World Series Game 3 tonight, and obviously there is no point right now in speculating as to just when this game might be rescheduled and played. We had a setting that was absolutely ideal, almost like it was for the final couple of games of the National League Championship Series, with an unseasonably warm day today with no wind and with the prospects for the balmy weather carrying over into the evening, almost as if the A's had packaged up Coliseum weather and brought it across the bay. And so Bob Welch and his opposite number, Don Robinson, who were within minutes of beginning to start their warm-ups, now we'll have to go with the rest of the ball club. And from the baseball standpoint, heaven only knows what this is going to do to affect the overall playing of the series. The disruption of the momentum, the emotion, and obviously, of course, if there's a delay of several days, it changes the whole picture from a pitching standpoint for both managers.
Well, and that's the situation is here. We have no idea of what has happened to the Oakland Coliseum.
That's
if it
right.
is structurally not damaged, and this stadium here has some, then quite probably the series would be continued over at the Oakland Coliseum, and they would be all, they would play, I am sure, even though playing there, they would play home games for the Giants there,
right,
as far as the designated hitter is concerned and everything. But they might, these stadiums will have to be inspected, and if there is some damage to this one, obviously, they're going to have to move the games over there, and that's going to be... We talk about this, about the games, as though it's important, and it is important to a point. It's sure much less important than the damage that's gone on around the rest of the area.
Well, we can't comment on too much more
because
we don't have that much.
But what
knowledge.
I'm saying is that if they do that, if it has to be transferred, if it would have to be transferred over the Oakland Coliseum, how would you like to be involved in the ticket departments?
Oh, my.
Because the people that have bought tickets for this
right.
stadium, which seats 62,000, as opposed to the people who have bought tickets to the Coliseum, which seats 49,000.
Well, there's the further aspect, too, on the overall picture, and that is we don't know what other damage to the transportation system may have occurred.
Yeah, we don't know how we get home out there.
That's right.
And whether anybody can get across any of the bridges.
That's exactly right. So there is so much right now that is totally in the realm of the unknown. And the fans are slowly heading for the exits. And this facility is one that is not an easy exit. It does not have that many methods of egress, and so it's going to take a lot of time for all of these
people.
Well,
one of the things we made a mistake again, Bill, I did you drive over here yourself?
Yes,
I did, too. The A's had a police escort coming over from Oakland. They will have a police escort for their buses going back. And whichever way they go, they will wend their way through the traffic, and we will.
There are trade-offs in life, and the negative trade-off, I guess, to living in Marin County is this one tonight, because it wasn't convenient for me to drive all the way to Oakland and then take the bus and then go all the way back.
Well, I wonder.
And I probably would have been. I'm just as well off, because then I would have had the problem of getting back over the bridge.
Well, you could have gone over the San Rafael
yeah.
Bridge.
Right.
We think. I'm
yes.
not sure. We're not trying to make light of this situation, of course, but it, as you see, all the things, when you congregate over 60,000 people in one area, in one place, in one facility, and then all of a sudden tell them that they're completely surrounded by at least minor devastation, and they don't know which direction they can go to get away from here, it's going to create a great deal of confusion.
I don't know where the majority of the people in this crowd tonight will be going. A normal Candlestick crowd would be probably heavily oriented toward going south down the peninsula. But World Series crowds tend to, of course, be made up of a lot of people staying in downtown hotels and the like.
Well, they were concerned. The city of San Francisco especially was concerned that with the Bay Series that you had, yes, Mike. All right. Well, I just want to finish my thought that the city of San Francisco was concerned that being as this was a Bay Bridge Series, that they wouldn't attract people from out of town, that the financial rewards wouldn't be as great for the city. Now they're on television across the country and have a...
The game has been postponed.
Tonight has been postponed here because of an earthquake, so that certainly isn't going to add to the charm of San Francisco in places like Des Moines, Iowa.
Well, maybe we won't get quite so crowded anyway.
That's right. We'll go back to the studios right now for a newscast.
This striking at 5:04. I know I was on the air and the building began to shake, went into utter darkness. We have been scrambling for information to get out to you. At this point, I'm not sure what you have mentioned before, Lon and Bill, and so I will just cover what I have learned. A portion of the Bay Bridge has collapsed, a 50-foot section of the upper deck falling onto the lower deck. There is no traffic going across the Bay Bridge at this time. We have sections of the Nimitz Freeway down as well. There are reports of bricks falling down out of buildings, plate glass falling out of windows in the San Francisco area, some statues knocked over as well. This is, as for epicenter and magnitude, we do have conflicting reports, as is normal, basically, for this area. Out of UC Berkeley, they're saying 6.2. Epicenter 10 miles northeast of Santa Cruz. Other reports, though, television reports are indicating 6.9 on the Richter scale. Epicenter near Hollister. No word yet on exactly where this was epicentered. Again, the Bay Bridge, a section of the Bay Bridge has collapsed. Sections of the Nimitz Freeway has also gone down, apparently part of the Cypress structure. Let me just check through some of these notes. Of course, you've heard Bill and Lon mention that there simply isn't enough electricity to hold Game 3 of the World Series. That has been postponed. As soon as we have more on that, we will get back to you with it. Now, there are numerous fires burning throughout the Bay Area. We have been told of a major fire in Berkeley at Bancroft and Shattuck. Also numerous fires in Oakland. Unfortunately, we are still in the dark here in this portion of San Francisco. We can't get out. As soon as we get information, though, we will feed it to you. Everybody that I have talked to has said that this is by far the worst earthquake they have ever felt in the Bay Area, and this was felt over a huge area. We've gotten reports of it being felt, in fact, in Los Angeles, all over Los Angeles. We've gotten reports of some damage and destruction in San Benito County, also being felt in such places as Fresno and Santa Maria and St. Helena to the north, of course, in Marin County, and, of course, very definitely in San Francisco and at Candlestick Park. This is R.J. Perelman in the KSFO KYFM newsroom. As soon as I have more information, I will bring it to you. Back to you, Lon and Bill.
All right, thank you, R.J. This is Bill King back with Lon Simmons and Ray Fossey in our broadcast booth at Candlestick Park, and what we're watching now is the slow egress of a capacity crowd here, which now has learned that the World Series game number 3 has been postponed, and really we are not privy to much information that can update a lot of what you just heard on the newscast.
Well, it's
I've just received by sort of secondhand word that the Golden Gate Bridge will be closed for inspection purposes. I don't know how long that might entail, but that's something too that will also, considering the time of the day, is going to make for a choked situation here. It may be all night before the traffic sorts itself out because of the stack up that accrues from that.
That's what time was 5:05? You
thought? I said 5:05 as I looked at the clock here, but RJ just said at the studio he was on the air and it was 5:04 according to his clock.
Well, that had to hit right in the middle of commute, and you know that we can only hope that miracles do happen and that collapse of the bridge did not result in any fatalities or major injuries.
The one picture we saw from TV on a very small watchman showed very clearly that the cars on the lower deck, where the upper deck section had fallen in at about a 45-degree angle, or a little sharper. Obviously, were stopped, but there was no way of telling whether any had been hit by it or whether there had been any injuries. And it did not appear that the lower deck had collapsed, although there seemed to be some sort of structural material stringing down, hanging down from the deck of the bridge. But it was on a small picture, so it was very difficult to really get much definition.
Well, what's going to be the confusion here is the people that are at this ball game. And this the only reason we talk about that is because we're here and because this is how to return to their home.
No, particularly East Bay people who, of course, come in over here to watch the series, many of them would use the Bay Bridge. That's obviously no longer viable. And as far as the farther south bridges, we have no reports on their status.
I haven't heard anything about San Mateo Bridge or anything. But you talk about overload, San Mateo and Dumbarton would really have a difficult time handling all that traffic.
And if the KSFO News report that stated there was damage and it was uncertain as to what extent on the Nimitz Freeway, once in the East Bay, once again, that also alters possible routes for people trying to get home.
Well, any untoward event, even a flat tire
that's right.
On these freeways during commute time disrupts and creates a huge traffic jam. So you can imagine what this is going to do and what's going to happen. The only thing that you have to say is, all right, we can put up with that. You just hope there were no serious injuries or fatalities. The things that you can correct, even if they're inconvenient, time-consuming, you can put up with them. But what you can't put up with, or what you can't correct, is something that results in injury or fatality.
I see an ambulance, Lon, down the left field line. There have been several squad cars, state police cars, with their red and blue lights flashing, which have been on the field.
Well,
here comes an ambulance.
Well, the ambulance is always in attendance here, and there's quite possibly there's a possibility of someone in an event like this that has a heart attack or the belief of a heart attack or something. So that might possibly have happened.
They've pulled all the way down the left field line and right to the first base dugout at the moment, and so we'll try to determine what their mission is at this point, if it does relate to anything of that nature. They are bringing someone. Is there someone on that gurney? No, there isn't. It's one of those rolling gurneys that they're
taking it over into the giant dugout, and either there's somebody in the dugout. It appears there's somebody in the dugout that they're going to put on that gurney and take back out in the ambulance.
Obviously, of course, the huge assemblage of media people and television and still photographers are in a situation where they're recording a great number of stories as it relates just to this event. And, of course, all of those folks have portable self-contained battery packs, so the loss of the lights and the electricity here at the Candlestick Park facility does not affect them.
Is your family here, Ray, at the ball game? No, they're at home. Have you been able to get in touch with them? They're not at home. Okay. But they're someplace where you know they're safe. All right. Nancy just handed me this, Bill. Earthquake before and during. It's in the telephone book. It tells you.
Yes, this is a survival guide out of the Pac Bell telephone book. And for those of you who do have the ability to hear us, these are things that might be a good suggestion for you if you have not already thought about them. So I'll read them here. First, before an earthquake happens, obviously be prepared, evaluating your home and so on. But I don't know that any of these would apply, such as attaching your water heater to the wall with galvanized plumber's tape to prevent tipping. These are preventive maintenance points. Looking further, the safest place in your house away from heavy furniture or appliances, masonry veneers such as fireplaces, and large panes of glass. Know where to get in those instances.
You're
obviously,
a little late
again,
for that.
We're a little bit late. If you are indoors, stay there. Get under a desk, table, or in a doorway. Stay clear of windows. greatest hazards from falling objects, maybe outdoors, stay inside. I heard a reporter from another radio station who was down in the Embarcadero Center area outside on the street saying that as the streets seemed to roll and some masonry of some kind was falling and the sound of glass, that there was a group of maybe 10 or 20 people trying to get out of the line of fire, if you will, from falling objects, trying to get into a bank building, which had already closed, but they were not being allowed in by the folks inside. And so these are things, of course, that probably have occurred in many, many cases. Some of these, reading them now, seems to be after the fact, but by the same token, we always experience aftershocks, and we don't know what the degree of the aftershock will be, so they may be still pertinent. If you're outside and it occurs, get into the open away from buildings and power lines. If you're driving a car, stop the car but stay inside. Don't stop or under a bridge. Try to get your car as far out of normal traffic pattern as possible, but do not stop under trees, light posts, or signs. If you're in a mountainous area, be alert for falling rock or other debris which could be loosened as a result of the quake. Or after an earthquake, it may be 72 hours or more before any outside emergency agency assistance can get to you. I don't know if that would apply today, but if you have access to supplies and so on, it might be a good idea to make sure you know where they are and make sure before it gets dark that you locate all of your lighting equipment, such as flashlights, lanterns, candles, your batteries, that sort of thing. We're getting some announcements on the makeshift PA system here, reminding people to hold on to their tickets as rain checks. And, of course, there will be such a massive confusion relating to the World Series right now that it's hard to really contemplate exactly where the first step will be to try to sort out that confusion and decide what the future and where the future of this World Series will be. We seem to be in something of an information vacuum because at our station facility there's really no power, so we don't have any communication access whatsoever. Where was RJ doing his newscast from? It was temporary equipment at the station, but the normal station operating equipment is not functional right now. What do we got?
Yeah,
well, there seems to be
some of the lights came on here. The light standards.
There is some power here now, and lights are going on here in the.
Now all the power has come on around here.
Scoreboards are on. Although the scoreboard. Look at the scoreboard out there, Lon. It's all garbled. It looks almost as if it's in Korean.
Yeah. Well, the lights have come on. On the light standards, they're starting to come on. The lights have come on in our broadcast booth. The radio and television sets have come on the stations that are working.
I think the lights that are on, Lon, are only the maintenance lights on the lower part of the light standard behind home plate that they often use for maintenance and cleaning.
I say our television monitors are on here in the booth.
This one is on right here, but there's nothing. We don't have a station on at the moment. There, now we're getting some live transmissions from TV that we can see. And a good share now, probably 80% of the fans who are here have left the immediate seating area.
Well, trying to get out of this stadium at best, when nothing untoward has happened, is brutal. I mean, when the fans leave after a game and take their normal egress, it's
well, and folks probably aren't in a great deal of a tailgating mood to pass the time right now, I wouldn't think.
And they'll be jammed up out there. It will be hours before people get out of here. And you had to talk me out of taking that bus.
Well, I always thought I had a good feel for things, but obviously I didn't.
Well, it was it's amazing how nature decides to put its hand in to let everybody know what is really important in this world. You get so wrapped up in the World Series or the Super Bowl that you think you can't live with defeat, or you are anticipating the glory of a victory, and yet nature steps up and hits you right between the eyes with some problems that make you realize that maybe baseball or football aren't quite as important as we think they are. They're certainly an outstanding diversion in their time, but
I noticed the San Francisco TV stations, one is transmitting from here on the field. Another is operating, obviously, under emergency conditions. That's a tremendous amount of masonry and brick and fresco sort of fancy work.
I was hoping you would explain that it was the brick and masonry when you said, look at the rubble down there.
This is from an older style building, if you'll notice.
This is the thing that they are concerned about, all earthquake agencies, about the buildings that have all of that.
Okay, Lon, we're getting a word right now. Excuse the interruption, but we'll return once again for more news updates from the KSFO.
Yes, Bill and Lon, R.J. Perelman here in the KSFO KYFM newsroom. Unfortunately, we are still laboring in the dark, but you've been good enough to fill the listeners in on some safety steps to take. We'd appreciate it if you would reiterate those perhaps in a couple of minutes. I have a couple of things I can update you on. Number one is the Golden Gate Bridge is also closed down for inspection. There will be no traffic crossing the Golden Gate Bridge for quite some time. Now, of course, perhaps the worst damage that I have heard reports of so far, deal with the bridges, the Bay Bridge in particular. A 50-foot section apparently of the upper deck has collapsed onto the lower deck. 20 to 25 cars are estimated to be involved. Several, they say, have gone over the side. There is a Coast Guard search and rescue effort underway at this time, trying to rescue people who have gone over in the cars and also who are trapped in cars beneath the two layers of the bridge. Apparently part of the Cypress structure has also broken down as well. Clearly the game is not going to be able to go on. Perhaps you can cover whatever procedures are going to be implemented at Candlestick for the massive crowd there. You mentioned Embarcadero Center, a lot of rubble on the ground. We've gotten reports of some windows flying out of the skyscrapers. Also, you mentioned masonry. We've gotten also reports of statues falling over on Market Street. Now, once again, to update some of the preliminary numbers that we've gotten, 6.9 on the Richter scale near Hollister. That's what we've heard from one side. UC Berkeley is saying 6.2, epicentered 10 miles northeast of Santa Cruz. It is not uncommon for there to be a couple of different preliminary magnitudes coming on, depending on which agency is reporting it at the time. And this has been reported over a huge area, clear down to Los Angeles, Fresno, Santa Maria, and, of course, to the north as well. As soon as we get more information, we will break back in. At this point, since you have access to more media than I have in this newsroom, we'll toss it back to you, Lon and Bill, and appreciate you keeping our listeners updated.
Okay, thank you very much, RJ, and the field is almost all cleared now, except for some news people. It appears that there might be a news conference of some kind going on. A great knot of reporters and media people gathered around someone whom I can't see down between the first base dugout and home plate. Obviously, it must be one of the baseball officials, whether from the major leagues or commissioner's office, I don't know. But I don't see at the moment who it might be. I recognize a number of the reporters there. But I just can't, even with binoculars, understand at the moment or interpret at the moment who it might be. That was perhaps with the idea of whether we're going to get any estimate at all on just exactly which direction this World Series is going. But as you mentioned, again, it's night is drawing close right now, and a lot of folks may not have power, and it's probably a very questionable as to how soon that power can be restored. So it's a good idea to get your portable radio and any extra batteries you have so that you are able to maintain a line of information. Remember, all your flashlights with extra batteries, anything you have, make sure to try to get it in a central place or in central containers so that if, in the event, perish the thought of aftershocks of severe enough intensity that you had to be on the move, you would have this stuff in a very portable condition. If you have a first aid kit and handbook, good idea. A few gallons for each family member of water or canned juices or, for that matter, bottled seltzer water or soda or whatever it might be, soft drinks. Powdered milk sometimes in a more extreme situation would be something you could use if you had it on hand. Also, it would be a good idea if you're in an area that's hit with any degree of severity, if the necessity occurs, to be able to turn off the gas and water, so you need a pipe wrench or a crescent wrench out of your tool inventory. And perhaps, and I know these sound extreme, but we're operating, as I say, in something of a void here. So in the event that there is an extreme situation like that, if you had some alternate source for cooking, which could be used outdoors in a short span of time, would be a good idea. And believe it or not, a small bottle of chlorine bleach for use in disinfecting water. Keep supplies in your car so that you can be mobile if the situation demands it. And every news source, all TV stations and radio stations, are sort of grasping and groping right now, trying to get the most clear information that is possible. Here's an after major earthquake list of suggestions. Check for injuries, obviously. Stop any bleeding injury by applying direct pressure over the site of the wound. Do not attempt to move seriously injured persons unless they're in immediate danger of further injury. Cover injured persons with blankets to keep them warm and be reassuring and calm. And be sure and wear shoes in all areas near debris and broken glass. The TV pictures that we saw very briefly here a few moments ago on CBS Network TV from the downtown San Francisco area, it was absolutely littered with glass and all manner of rubble. Check for safety at your home. Check the home for fire or fire hazards. Check your utility lines and your appliances for damage. Shut off the main gas valve if you have any suspicion of a leak by the smell of the gas. Do not search for a leak with a match. I know that sounds too simplistic, but it's something that one might in a moment of... Once again here, but it is intermittent. We are transmitting on emergency power right now, but once again, the power at the ballpark at Candlestick Park has gone off. As far as restoring service, if you've lost your gas service, remember this. You're going to be a lot safer if you let the gas company restore it. It may take a day or two, and that's why I was suggesting some of the other emergency measures. If you have charcoal in a barbecue unit of some kind, making sure that that's available to do cooking or the like if you had the need to for a period of a couple of days or more. Do not operate electrical switches or appliances if there's a suspicion of a gas leak, because sparks can ignite gas from broken lines. Do not use your telephone to report a gas leak, as a tiny spark could be enough to cause an explosion. Now, that's something that I would not at all have been aware of without reading this. Obviously, don't touch downed lines or objects touched by downed power lines or electrical wiring of any kind. Check your chimney for cracks and damage. That's probably something you'll have to wait for daylight tomorrow as darkness approaches. Approach your chimneys with caution, because in a severe instance, they might topple. And also, one other cautionary note that is listed here, and that is that if you use a damaged chimney, you're inviting fire. So if you have any doubts here in the immediate future, don't use it. Check your closets and cupboards and open the doors cautiously, because falling objects could come tumbling out of the shelves and cause injury and obviously breakage. Check your food supply. Do not eat or drink anything from open containers near shattered glass. If your power is off, check your freezer and plan meals to use up foods that would quickly spoil. And as I mentioned earlier, barbecues or camp stoves outdoors for emergency cooking would be a good idea if possible and if necessary. Check your water supply. If water is off, emergency water supplies may be all around you in water heaters, melted ice cubes, toilet tanks, and even in canned vegetables. And don't eat or drink anything from open containers near shattered glass. Now, there are suggestions here in the aftermath of a major earthquake, and certainly that is the category that this one falls into, and that is to shut off gas if you suspect a leak or can smell it. The main shutoff valve is next to your meter on the inlet pipe. Use a wrench, give it a quarter turn in either direction so that it runs crosswise on the pipe and the line will be closed. I'll repeat that again because I think a lot of folks probably have never thought of that. The main shutoff valve for gas is located next to your meter on the inlet pipe. Use a wrench, give it a quarter turn in either direction, and that way it will run crosswise on the pipe and thus close the line. If it's necessary to shut off electricity, look very closely at your circuit breaker box or your fuse type box and be certain you can turn off the electricity in an emergency. Once again, from Candlestick Park, at KSFO.
And thank you, Bill. R.J. Perelman in the KSFO KYA newsroom. I have just learned, as I'm sure you have learned since you're at Candlestick, that the Commissioner of Baseball has indeed canceled Game 3 of the World Series, postponed until tomorrow, is now asking everyone to leave Candlestick in an orderly fashion. This is being called, in the reports that I'm able to monitor, the worst quake to hit the Bay Area since 1906. It struck at 5:04. We still have conflicting numbers measuring 6.9 on the Richter scale, centered near Hollister, or else 6.2. This is according to UC Berkeley seismic station, 6.2 centered 10 miles northeast of Santa Cruz. Now, we do have something that we would like to pass along. All San Francisco firefighters and all off-duty Alameda firefighters in both the metro and unincorporated areas are being asked to return to their stations of work immediately. Apparently, the worst damage in this quake has been to the eastern side of the Bay Bridge, a 50-foot section collapsing, the upper deck collapsing onto the lower deck. We have reports that a half mile of the Nimitz Freeway has also collapsed. We also have a report that several people have been crushed by the collapse of a brick wall at 6th and Townsend in the south of Market area in San Francisco. Additionally, a large fire is burning now in the Marina District at Beach and Divisadero in San Francisco, and the fire department is asking that everyone stay clear of that area so that they can do their job. Joining me now here is Ron Barr.
Well, we just worked our way carefully back from Candlestick Park, and it's a very eerie feeling to take a look around the city and see people, RJ, just milling about. Nobody panicking, everybody being very, very, very kind to each other, but they realize that something has happened. Now, there have been reports that out on the bridge there are children that are just screaming hysterically because they want to know what's happening. Also, there has been damage at City Hall. Nothing serious, but there has been plaster that has been loosened. I saw the street scattered with glass where windows had broken and had indeed popped out. There was masonry work out in various locations. Now, down on the Embarcadero, one of the police officers told me that there is a lot of debris from the bridge and also some buildings from down in that particular area. But it's a very unusual feeling for those of us who have gone through earthquakes before to feel it. I was out at Candlestick getting ready to do, as you know, the 505 report, and all of a sudden, and I thought it was a gust of wind, and then I realized we had no wind out there. And those of us who were in the KSFO trailer, all of a sudden I said earthquake, and there was the ground was moving, and the antennas from the TV trucks, the mobile trucks, were swaying in the air, and those people that were inside Candlestick said that the foul poles were just going back and forth. It's amazing, and we're going to keep you abreast of what's happening.
Now, we should mention that Larry Brownell is down at City Hall. As soon as we can find a way to get him on the air with the latest from there, we will certainly get him on. Again, we should mention that the Golden Gate Bridge has been closed down for inspection purposes only. We have no reports of damage from that span. However, it's certainly going to prevent a lot of people getting in or out of the city. I think it's easy for people to want to get through to their loved ones, of course.
RJ?
Yes, Bill.
We've just had a report from television that the Golden Gate Bridge now is open. Ray Fossey is monitoring the television, and that's the word we had now. And also, the Dumbarton is open. And the San Mateo Bridge is still closed, and the Bay Bridge is closed. That's the update we have.
terrific. Thank you very much.
Do you have any further information on the Nimitz, the section that is out right now, at what point it is, at what location?
I'm afraid I do not have an exact location. I do know that it's close to, it's got to be part of the MacArthur Maze because it is close to the east end of the Bay Bridge.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
I do not have a specific location yet. As soon as we can get through to CHP and Caltrans, we'll get that information on.
We have a little more in specific about the commissioner's announcement of postponement of the game. The technical term right now is indefinitely postponed, and that is pending the full inspection of the facility here at Candlestick Park to make certain that it is a safe facility. Possibly it can be played tomorrow, but that at this point is not determined.
Okay. We are continuing to try to get more information into the newsroom. Again, we would like to put out this call for all off-duty San Francisco firefighters and all Alameda County firefighters to report back to their stations. This call, all of the media is being asked to get this call out. Clearly, there is a need. We do have some confirmed reports of some death in San Francisco as a result of at least one a brick wall collapsing. Clearly, with the news about the upper deck of the Bay Bridge collapsing and other parts of the Nimitz, there are going to be a number of fatalities involved here. I think it's easy for people to want to panic, to get on the phones, to call their loved ones. We are being asked to urge the listening public to stay off of the phones, at least for the time being. If you overload the system, then some emergency calls aren't going to be able to go through.
Probably a good idea, too. For people who aren't in an area that has been perhaps that heavily impacted, not a good idea to go sightseeing elsewhere. It only congests and causes more difficulty.
Definitely not. And I would reiterate what the San Francisco Fire Department has to say about this fire in the Marina District. It's burning at Beach and Divisadero. Apparently a whole building has become engulfed. Stay out of the area and let the emergency crews get in there and do their job.
I might also add, too, gentlemen, that since I worked my way back from Candlestick, many of the traffic lights are out across town. Be very careful as you approach those not lit intersections because people are being very courteous. Keep your cool all during this.
Did you take 101?
No, I did not, Bill. What I did was I came out and took what is the almost like a frontage road through the backside of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And no, 101.
I would assume 101 must be.
It's a parking lot.
Yes.
Because people were working their way out of Candlestick, Bill, trying to get to their cars. Police were doing an excellent job of directing them, but it was quickly beginning to back up, and I took some of the side streets. Once you get into San Francisco, you have to deal with a couple of things. First of all, there are a lot of people in the streets because they're trying to catch their buses. This came at right in the middle of rush hour at 5:05. And the other thing. Is the fact that there's debris that you're going to have to go around. There were streets, literally, Bill, that had glass across them all the way. And there are some people, be alerted to, that were trying to get out of traffic jams, and thus they were going the wrong way on one-way streets trying to get out of the situation. So those are just some common-sense things that I hope people will realize as they try to work away from the immediate downtown and the immediate San Francisco City area.
Well, the overall byword will be utmost caution.
Exactly right, Bill. BART naturally goes into its earthquake mode as soon as one of these things hit. They close down the system for inspection, a complete inspection. In this case, there was a train in the Transbay tube at the time that the quake hit. It was apparently able to get out on battery power. As soon as we can get through to BART, we'll get more of an update from there. Again, we should mention that the San Mateo Bridge and the Bay Bridge are closed down. The Bay Bridge sustaining some damage, a 50-foot section of the upper deck collapsing onto the lower deck, trapping some people in cars, apparently knocking some cars off and into the water below, a search and rescue effort underway by the Coast Guard. We have numerous unconfirmed reports of damage throughout the city, ranging from a brick wall collapsing onto some people to masonry and windows falling out. As soon as we can get some more numbers nailed down, we'll get back on the air with that. Again, 6.9 is the upper end on the Richter scale, centered near Hollister. 6.2 is the UC Berkeley reading. They say it was epicentered 10 miles northeast of Santa Cruz.
And apparently it's greatly extensive because I understand now from second and third hand, but word of mouth sort of information, that people in San Diego and in the San Fernando Valley felt it very distinctly.
Well, this is what I was told. In fact, immediately after the quake, we got a call from San Luis Obispo. Naturally, they wanted to know how extensive the damage was up here, but they also wanted to share that they felt the thing there. They were getting reports out of Los Angeles, all over the Los Angeles basin, that it had been felt. Fresno, of course, feeling it. I'm not sure how far to the north this thing was felt. We do have reports from, obviously, from San Rafael and St. Helena up into the wine country.
This is San Andreas' fault, is it not?
You know, at this point, I have not heard.
Well, I would have to think so.
I would think so.
From its location, yes. As they spoke, in proximity to both San Jose and to Santa Cruz, and also Hollister.
Yeah, that's correct. One man that, everybody that I've talked to so far has said that this is the worst quake that they have ever felt in their years here. A lot of people are saying this is the worst quake to hit the Bay Area since the 1906 big one.
I think the one that has stood out in most people's minds, at least to my recollection, was the one in the spring of 1958. And that was somewhere around, as I recall, a 5.8. And I believe that was the Hayward fault line. But I don't recall that there was anything approximating this kind of damage.
Bill, perhaps I can ask you about something since you are at Candlestick. We have gotten reports that there have been several minor injuries at Candlestick, possibly a heart attack.
Well, the only one we know about was the one we had reported on.
It's still down to this part of San Francisco. Again, we should reiterate the San Mateo Bridge is closed. A 50 to 100 foot section of the cantilever section of the Bay Bridge has collapsed. Much of the Nimitz has buckled, some reports indicating up to a half mile of it.
Is the San Mateo Bridge closed as a precaution for inspection? Is that, or do we know?
At this point, I have been told that San Mateo Bridge is closed for inspection purposes. We have no reports of damage on it. So since the Golden Gate Bridge was closed and a quick inspection was done, perhaps the San Mateo Bridge will be opening up soon also. The Golden Gate is open. The Dumbarton Bridge is also open. Fire in the Marina District again is burning at Beach and Divisadero. The San Francisco Fire Department is asking people to stay clear of the area. Also, an explosion and fire reported in Berkeley, apparently at the Berkeley High School area. And we have no more information on that, unfortunately. As soon as we have it, we'll pass it along.
It was interesting at the moment that the quake began to be felt here, because a lot of folks who have felt quakes before knew what it was very quickly in the stands. And there was this great cheer that rose up. Obviously, no one thought of the consequences of sort of a worst-case scenario. And the instant response, I think, mostly from Giant fans who are coming here trying to create sort of a 10th man atmosphere for the Giants to try to battle their way back into the World Series in their home park. It was obvious that they were responding to it as if to say, see, this is what Candlestick will do to you Oakland A's. And then a little bit later, more than a few seconds later, the realization began that it was something more than just a ripple.
Yeah, 6.9 is definitely not a ripple when it's got the San Andreas Fault and 6 million people in the Bay Area living on top of it.
And the cautionary measures that I read from the phone book a while ago, I think they may be very pertinent to, first of all, either recall or get your own phone book so that you can have that as a handy reference, because with the aftershocks, generally they are far less in severity, but by the same token, we don't know that. And the aftershocks could further exacerbate some of the damage. And all of those procedures to take after a quake, I think, are something that a lot of folks ought to really put into practice as much as they can right now with what they have at hand.
Very definitely, Bill. In fact, if I can prevail upon you to share those with the listeners, I'm going to excuse myself for a couple of minutes, try to round up some more information, and I'll get back to you just as soon as I can.
Well, I misplaced them for a moment. Let's see if I can find them right now. And I think I have them handy here. A lot of it applies, of course, to common sense, but it maybe helps to jog your mind just a little bit and focus on them. Good idea if you have spillage in the house, obviously, to clean up medicines or drugs or other potentially harmful materials like bleaches or, perish the thought, gasoline or lye, something like that. Those are things that should be cleaned up immediately, and I imagine there's been a lot of spillage and breakage in residences around the Bay Area. Again, if you had anybody injured, and make sure that you keep them warm. This now would, of course, be, an hour and a half after the fact. But once again, it's difficult sometimes to take measures in these emergencies. So that's the first thing you would want to do with an individual. And again, check your home for fire or fire hazards. Check utility lines and appliances. Shut off the main gas valve if a leak is suspected or identified. And I mentioned before how you should do it, and that is just get your meter. The valve is located next to the meter on the inlet pipe, and use a wrench. Just give it a quarter turn in either direction. What that does is it turns it crosswise on the pipe, and the line is closed. Don't search for any leaks with a match. Don't turn on your gas again. And, of course, a lot of you do have candles for emergencies in a lighting situation, but don't use them until you're absolutely certain that there isn't any danger from gas on the premises. And you will be safer if you let the gas company restore service, even though that might take a matter of a couple of days. Shut off your electrical power at the control box if there's any damage to the house wiring. Look closely at the circuit breaker box or the fuse type box, and be certain that you can turn off the electricity in an emergency. And if you do have Pacific Bell White Pages, this is out of the Customer Guide Survival Guide White Pages book. And if you have one of those handy, it's in the front part of the book under Survival Guide, and it would be well to keep that at hand just as a frame of reference. Don't use your phone to report a gas leak. Again, that's one that I had not anticipated, because it informs us that a tiny spark could be enough to cause an explosion. And obviously, downed lines or objects touched by downed power lines should be avoided. And also, don't touch any electrical wiring of any kind. Check your chimney. If you don't have enough light to do it as the darkness closes in, obviously, you want to do that tomorrow. Look for cracks and damage. Approach the chimneys with caution, because they could topple or tumble. And if you use a damaged chimney, you're going to invite fire. So have it inspected and make sure it's properly operative. And then if you check your closets and cupboards, be careful opening the doors, because falling objects could come tumbling off the shelves. Here in Candlestick Park now, it's getting well along into the twilight, and almost every fan has left the premises. There are a few groups of security officers and policemen down below on the field, and a few media people left. And from the baseball standpoint, this story has come to an end today. But, of course, we're only beginning from a news standpoint to understand the breadth and depth and severity of today's earthquake.
Well, I wonder what they're going to do about as far as the World Series is concerned. They said that it's Commissioner Vincent said that it was indefinitely postponed, but they would check the stadium tonight. I presume that meant, when he said they would check the stadium tonight, that they would be able to complete the inspection by tomorrow or through the night. And then I wonder what they will do, whether they will call people back, whether these teams, you know, from the people that some of the wives that I saw and some of the players, they were greatly shaken.
Yes.
I don't know how many of them will be willing to come back here to this stadium tomorrow, if indeed they're called back tomorrow.
We're certainly involved in a history-making occasion, not only from the standpoint of all of Northern and perhaps much of the whole state of California, but in a smaller sense and a more isolated sense in the baseball world, here is something that has never been experienced before. And it's interesting to be involved in it, but I'd rather be in about the fourth inning right now.
Well, the thing that you have to say, if you look on the positive side, is the fact that everybody predicts that someday, somewhere, somehow, there's going to be a major quake. And this one was a major quake at 7, but that there's going to be a major devastating quake, and that was not the case here, although you might not be able to prove that to some people who are right in the middle of it, who were on the bridge or whatever, but it hasn't destroyed everything. If it were a major quake, put it up around 8 or something, and this stadium that we're in right now wouldn't be standing.
No, I doubt that very much.
And I'm greatly impressed that it is standing anyway through the through the 7-point earthquake. It took quite a shaking, but maintained the structure, maintained its capacity to hold the crowd.
Let me break in here, if I may,
yes, please do.
Lon and Bill.
it's nice to know that so many structures did maintain themselves through this earthquake. A number of structures also have not. We have gotten reports, first of all, the major stories here within this huge story just of the earthquake itself. About a 50-foot section of the cantilever, a section of the Bay Bridge has collapsed. The top deck falling onto the lower deck. 20 to 25 cars may be involved. Trapped underneath that rubble. Obviously, search and rescue efforts are going on at this time. I heard, Lon, you mentioned the number 7. I have just gotten some more numbers out of UC Berkeley, and they are saying that this quake measured 7 on the Richter scale, epicentered near Hollister. Again, we want to reiterate this call that all off-duty firemen are being asked to go back on duty, back to their stations immediately, that for the city of San Francisco. Also, all Alameda County firemen, both in the metro areas and in the unincorporated areas, are being asked to get back to their stations. Larry Brownell is at Civic Center. We are unable to get him on the air at this time. As soon as we can, we'll definitely have him on. But he reports no damage at Civic Center other than some minor damage to the facade and so forth. Ron Barr, you drove through there not long ago, and you say you saw some masonry and some windows out?
Yeah, there is a lot of rubble on the streets around and a lot of glass out and about. The hardest hit area in the city seems to be from North Beach on out to the Marina District. Now, we have that big fire in the Marina District, plus we have reports, confirmed reports, of buildings that have collapsed. Some houses onto some cars. Also, there is leaking gas in the Marina District area. And so, for Pete's sake, if you're there, please be very, very careful. There is a fire on, what, Beach Street, I believe, RJ?
Beach and Divisadero, that's correct.
...of some fatalities. Now, I can also tell you, 5th and Townsend, the approach to the Bay Bridge, there has been, the road is just literally separated in that particular area. Cars crashed into the separation. One area of the bridge is higher than the other where it's separated, so it made almost like a wall. It is impassable there. It's several hundred feet long, and we do have some reports of fatalities at that particular area. Now, the building that apparently, where the house was that collapsed down on the car, is at Fillmore and Bay. That's where the building is right there. So, again, that's the latest where we have. It's in the Marina District, and that seems to be the hardest hit area that we know of, at least at this moment, RJ, in the city.
Another area is the 5th and Townsend area south of Market. Apparently a brick wall has collapsed onto a couple of cars, and there are fatalities involved there.
Are there any reports at all from Marin County?
I can give you
a little information on
okay,
that.
You and I, Ron, we have a vested interest.
Yes, well, that's why, Bill. I mean, since we're neighbors practically, you're in Sausalito, I'm out
right.
At Strawberry Point. I had a chance to talk to my wife by way of mobile phone on the way in, and she was pretty well shaken, she says, but there is no damage in the immediate vicinity, at least in Strawberry, Mill Valley, Tiburon area, that she can visibly see.
Mm-hmm.
However, again, you know, there may be some problems, but there is no known fires, no smoke that is in the air in that particular area, indicating that maybe some fires had broken out. But as best we know, at this point, we have no confirmed reports of damage of any type. All I can tell you is just what my scared wife had to say.
What about Alameda? Anybody thought to check over there?
Probably a thought, but it may not be possible.
Right.
There's some reports of the Nimitz, I believe, RJ, isn't there?
Yeah, there
yeah,
are.
That's the one that
yeah,
we
there
know
are,
about.
There are sections of the Nimitz that that have gone down. Of course, we are, at this point, dealing with emergency power. We have no lights in this building. We're in the North Beach area on Broadway. There is no power in this building, so we are literally in the dark regarding a number of areas. We are certainly trying to gather as much information as we can, and as soon as we have more, we will get it back to you.
Well, I imagine since you're right there where the Broadway on and off ramps begin and terminate, it's probably quieter than you're used to on the streets.
Definitely, although there are an awful lot of people outside.
Really?
Yeah, there really are a lot of people. Obviously, they cleared out of the buildings just as soon as this hit, which the initial shock coming at 5:04 this afternoon. At 5:43, there were a couple of aftershocks recorded. Ron?
RJ, we have just got a confirmed report that San Francisco International Airport is closed to all inbound, outbound flights. The runways are okay, but the tower at SFO is a mess. The windows are all broken out of it. Tiles are down. and they don't expect to be able to handle any takeoff or landings at the earliest until midnight tonight. So they have some problems at SFO. However, the integrity of the runways are intact, and it's kind of interesting because they've closed down one of the runways out there just to resurface it, and we're happy to say that everything is all right there, but they have closed down San Francisco International Airport.
Has there been anything on the Oakland airport?
No, we'll check that out for you, Lon, and get back to you.
In fact, I will again excuse myself. I'm actually broadcasting from an engineering closet. We are not in our studios. We are unable to get our normal feeds in. Even if our lines were up, though, Pac Bell is asking that we not take calls from listeners because of the vast amount of emergency traffic over the telephone lines that that need to be processed at this time. We still will go out and gather more information and be back with it just as soon as we can. Lon, Bill?
Well, there's another interesting point here. If this, as we project things as far as sports is concerned, that if the stadium is damaged, Bob Lurie has been pushing for a new stadium downtown, and he might have a valid point. The stadium, if it has structural damage, could not be used or whatever. They are checking, I guess, on that. Tonight, to find out if the World Series would be continued here, where the next three games are supposed to be played.
We've just been given word. There's an indication that the commissioner will make an announcement sometime tomorrow. In the morning, obviously, if they're going to try to play the game, everybody would have to have some sort of notice that it definitely is on, if that were the case. And also, the subject has been broached, which you already brought up 45 minutes ago, and that is that if structural damage here were to be such that it would not be possible to continue in the immediate future here, that at least the thought has been broached of the possibility of a switch to the Oakland Coliseum.
Lana, Bill, if I may cut in just for a moment, R.J. Perumon in the KSFO KY newsroom. We have just gotten word that the fire departments in the Bay Area are asking people to turn off their gas at this time.
Well, we're talking about that.
If you haven't already done it, now is the time to get out there and do it. Apparently there are a lot of leaks being reported. They want to head off any disasters early. The fire departments are asking people to go out and turn off your gas at this time. They're also saying keep your doors and windows open. This would be to head off any kind of a gas buildup. Again, if you don't know where the gas main is, try to find someone in the building who does, and get that gas turned off just as soon as you possibly can.
In a private home, we've mentioned this before, obviously a private homeowner would probably have better knowledge of it than someone living in an apartment or a condo complex, but the main shutoff valve is next to the meter on the inlet pipe. So that's the first thing you have to do is find your meter. Look for the shutoff valve and then use a wrench and give it a quarter turn in either direction and that'll do it.
Well, there's only two things wrong with that, knowing what a meter is and having a wrench to make it a quarter turn. But there's probably somebody in the area that might have that could help you out.
You mean you don't have a spare toolkit?
No, I don't have one of those wrenches. First, I might... with the strength of my hands, I might just turn it a quarter turn anyway.
Yeah, well, I thought you always made sure that you didn't boast about that.
Well, this is the... brought it up. The lights are on here again at the...
Briefly.
Whoops, briefly. They came on for an instant and then went off. I would assume they're probably going to have to try to find some way of getting lights out here, if they're going to make a valid inspection of this stadium overnight, that they would have to have some lights so they can make that. And get the engineers in that are capable of giving a valid opinion on what, if any, damage has occurred to the stadium. I would think it took quite a jolt because at first, the first few seconds of the quake, that it was seemed to be just like a regular quake, and then all of a sudden you started getting the sideways movement on the stadium, and you could feel. You know that the girders and the steel supports of the stadium were put to a pretty good test because it moved quite a bit.
Yeah, some who were in a position to see it and for whatever reason were able to look at it say that the foul poles were swaying quite noticeably.
Yeah, I forgot to look at the light standards. I wish I had them at the time to see what they were doing, but I'm sure they were moving quite a bit. And that's another... possibility that one of the light standards could have snapped, although they do have three posts to them that probably kept them from snapping. at all, although I see, well, I guess that one never did have three out there. I was just looking at one now. Everyone
right,
has three,
yeah.
But one out in right field that has only two. But I guess that's the way it was originally built. But you look here, and it's, you know, this is what really is interesting, Bill, about you go through life, and if you look back, you realize that there have been moments in your life when it has been changed dramatically, whether you made a left turn instead of a right turn, or whether you decided not to go out, or whatever you did. But this just reminds you again how in one instant your life can be changed so much. Now, not that this is a major change, that you don't have a World Series game, but no more than an hour or so ago, we were out here getting ready, already anticipating a World Series game, and whether the A's could make it three wins or whether the Giants were going to win their first game of the series. Then suddenly you look at an empty stadium. There are people that are certainly had their lives either lost or changed dramatically, families, because of this major catastrophe that has hit the area. So you just cannot be certain from one minute to the next or one second to the next what your life has in store for you.
And relating to this World Series, already we mentioned about how this disrupts the whole rhythm and the focus from the standpoint of the players' attention to the game itself. But by the same token, with the extent of what's gone on and the disruption of the traffic facilities around the Bay Area, I don't imagine this will have nearly as important a part in folks' lives, no matter how passionate their Giant and Athletics leanings may be, at least for the next few days.
Well, let's look at it another way. Suppose Toronto and Chicago had won the playoffs. The World Series would have been played.
That's right.
Would have been played in Chicago.